Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, choir. Good to have the choir back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Steve, and all the members of the choir. I love to sing. I wish I knew how. If I did, I probably would sing in the choir. I just sing by letter. I just let her fly. And I just it's all I know to do. But it's such a joy to be together in the Lord's house. Amen. I want to get a little picture of the church. By the way, one of the first things I asked for when I came here was an independent audit of all funds. And we've been working on that now for 7 weeks. And by about 2 more weeks, I think we'll have that so that we can kind of tell where we are. I didn't know whether they could pay me or not. See, I have to figure it out whether they could pay me for being here. I'd almost pay them. I'd almost pay you to get to be here and get to have part in what God's doing in this place. It's a marvelous thing to see what's happening in the hearts of people. And that will be finished, in case somebody might be thinking about that or worried about that. I really almost came up here and said something about the offering time, because I know in my heart that there's some people here that have got a big check to write and you haven't written it yet. You haven't done it yet because you're kind of trying to figure it all out, whether or not this is what you're supposed to do. Let me tell you, you are supposed to write the big check and put it in the offering. And I guarantee, I know this, it's safe. And we're running in the black. We're not running behind. We're not running in the red. I check that every week to make sure. To make sure that we're still in black, and we are, with added expenses that are being experienced right now. We're still running in the black, and all bills are paid on time. And most all property is paid for. I think there's still $100,000 or so owed on the office building, a little more than $100,000, maybe $150,000 or something like that on the office building. But all this property is paid for thanks to the faithfulness of God's people. Amen. Over a long period of time, you have done well, and obviously funds have been handled well. And I just want to say thank God and thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness in doing these things, and we'll know more details of all of our financial dealings when we get the audit back from the people who are doing that at this moment. Father, I've told you this morning already that without you I can do nothing, and I know that better than anyone. And these are not just words, Lord. But I know that without you, none of us can do anything that will make any real difference. But I ask you for a special anointing of your Spirit to rest upon the words that are spoken and upon the ears that hear and hearts that are being prepared even at this moment to receive truth that can make a big difference in their outlook on life. And Lord, I pray that what's said will contribute to the happiness and to the joy that we can experience, because the truth sets us free from all the bondage that half-truth and error produces in our life. And so let the whole truth come forth this morning with regard to this matter of purpose. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. My subject this morning is finding the purpose for which you were created. There are many people, I believe, that live their whole life without having found the purpose for which they were created. And to me, that's a pity. Many have wandered aimlessly through life and have, in fact, died, never knowing. Or even, in some cases, even wondering, what is this all about? Why are we here? What is God's plan, if there be a God? And some people don't even know about that. You know, it's kind of difficult to understand when the Scripture is so clear on that, that there is a God. Amen. And, of course, you have to decide whether or not the Bible is true for that to make any difference, right? It wouldn't matter if the Scripture says there is a God, or in the beginning, God. It wouldn't matter if the Bible isn't true, but if it is true, it makes all the difference in the world. And I remember having a lady come to me one day in our from the Episcopal Church, and we were having a Monday night meeting, and in this Monday night meeting, we invited people of all churches to come and receive the fullness of the Spirit, and people did. I mean, from every church, almost every church in the community, they came on a Monday night for special services every Monday night. Many of them, particularly of the Episcopal Church, received the fullness of the Spirit. Even William Fry, who was Bishop of Colorado with the Episcopal Church for quite a period of time and is now president of one of their main colleges in Pennsylvania, he and his whole family received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that little Assembly of God church up there in Northwest Arkansas, because God may meet a person almost anywhere. But in this church, this lady said, "I'd like for you to come and visit with my husband, who is, who I believe she said was an agnostic, or maybe she said a skeptic. It's been a long time since this happened. But I said, if you'd like to visit with me, I'd be glad to visit with him." And so she made the appointment, and I went. And after exchanging pleasantries and talking about rather light subjects for a little period of time, it came right in the conversation for me to quote the Scripture. And it was almost like he just put up his hands and said, "Well, before we can use the Bible, we have to first determine whether or not the Bible is true." And I said, "Well, let me tell you, I believe it is. And here's why I believe it is. I've read it now for many years. I've studied it. I've put its principles into practice in my own life. I've watched others who have done the same. And I find out they really do work when people apply them to their lives. And because of that study, and because of my experience, and because of what I have seen in the lives of others, I believe I can say the Bible is the Word of God and is true." Then I said, "Now let me ask you, on what basis have you come to understand or believe that the Bible is not relevant? Is it because of your own study, your own personal look into the Scriptures, or are you simply repeating what you have heard other people say about the Bible?" He said, "Well, to be honest," and I hoped he would be, he said, "to be honest, I guess I have arrived at that conclusion more through what others have said about it than my own personal understanding or my own personal study." And then I said, "Now, you're a professor at the University of Arkansas. I want to ask you, do you believe that this is an appropriate way to determine the value of a book, simply by reading what somebody else said about it?" At that moment, he flipped me a copy of Chariots of the Gods. And he said, "Read my book and I'll read yours." I thought that was a fair thing. I said, "I'll be glad to do that." And I did. For the next several nights, I read through the book, which was fairly thick, called The Chariots of the Gods. If you haven't read it, don't take the time. It's not worth it. An interesting little story about a lot of things, but It had very little significance, and I'm sure you could have read it, and it would never have made any great or significant change in your life, because it didn't have anything to say that would be positive and helpful as far as living a life in this world. I later found that he was attending church again with his wife and family, because I guess he'd read the Bible and decided it might be true. It could be true, and he evidently decided maybe it was true. Amen. So it changed his life just to be challenged with that. Yes, I believe the Bible holds the answers. It gives us truthful answers. And I don't believe you can actually ever find your purpose in life without referring to this book. You have to believe that you were created by God, that He is in fact our Father, and that He is vitally concerned about every one of us, because He had us in His mind before He ever created the earth or this planetary system that we're a part of. Before any of this ever happened, He knew us. Now, maybe that doesn't mean much to you, but I tell you what, I can't even conceive of such a thing. That God would have known us, that He had us in mind when He created all of this. And we are His. We belong to Him because He is the Father of us all in the creative sense. Amen. Amen. He is the Father of all of us in the creative sense, and He is also the Father of us all in the redemptive sense. Because I believe that Jesus, in fact, died for every human being in the world today. Amen. I don't believe, as I've already said to you before, and I'll say it over and over again until it really rings in our spirit, I do not believe that there is a limited atonement, as some believe. I believe there is a limited acceptance of an unlimited atonement. Amen. That the Lord does not have to do anything else to save every human being that ever lived in all of this universe. Amen. He doesn't have to do anything else. He's done all that has to be done. But we have to receive that, and we have to accept that, and life will never take on full meaning and bring joy and peace until you come to believe that God, in fact, created us and through His Son redeemed us, and we are His now, and live for a purpose that God planned before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 says, "Praise be to God," verse 3. "Praise be to God and Father, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy in His sight in love. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His purpose, His pleasure, His will," hallelujah, "which He has freely given to us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." Hallelujah. I'm glad that He chose us. And He had a purpose when He did. He had a plan for our lives. And I want to share with you and help you to understand what that plan is. You know, do you realize that you were created to live forever? You were created to live forever, not just 70 years or 80 or 90 or whatever. You were created, we were created to live forever. Now, not like God, we do have a beginning. God has no beginning, He has no end. The human ability to understand cannot fathom no beginning. I mean, it just, that's beyond us. We cannot understand no beginning. We can understand no end. But we can't understand no beginning. And the only way that you can get a picture of that is in a circle. You can't find the beginning. You can't find the end of the circle. So that's the only way we can conceive it. And there is a sense in which it all started with God and will ultimately end with God. Of course, there is no end, so it just is in Him. In Him. From what we call the beginning and what we might refer to as an end. But what about this time in between? God had a plan. It wasn't just to create us. About 7 years ago, or eight years ago, I was in my place of prayer one morning, and I really heard the Lord say these things. And I don't say often God said something. And when I say that, I might mean I had an impression. But on this occasion, it was more than just an impression. It was like, this is something that I don't want you to forget. And I never have and never will. Because He said on that morning, "Son, anything I can do with you, I can do without you. I don't need you." He paused for just a moment and said, "I want you." I'd rather be wanted than to be needed. Amen. God didn't create this human family, not you or me or anyone, because He had some innate need for us. God does not need anything. He is complete in every way. So He did not create us to fill some void in His own being. No. And I understood that. And the next morning, I remember responding. I didn't respond immediately to that. But the next morning, I said, "Well, Father, I know You don't need us. You don't need me. You don't need anyone. So I know You didn't create us because You had some kind of need. So why did You create us? What was Your purpose in creating us?" And my mind went instantly to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, where the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created." And God was saying to me, He created us for His own good pleasure. Now you might have heard, God created us to worship Him. Not so. God didn't create us to worship Him because He didn't need worship. God doesn't need our worship, right? It wasn't for that purpose. Well, then somebody says, "Well, God created us to serve Him." You mean God needs somebody to serve Him? Well, if he needs something, he can just speak it into existence. I mean, he doesn't have to have service. He doesn't. Listen, even though we worship the Lord, and I believe he puts a high premium on worship, and in fact, it's the one thing that we can do for God that God cannot do for himself. Amen. God can't worship himself. And that's something we can do for him. And he really puts a high premium on it. And in fact, he is even seeking people that will worship him in spirit and in truth, because he really does enjoy the praise of his people. Yeah, he does. But he doesn't need it. He can get along without it. He's not discouraged. Amen. Contrary to what the very wonderful and pure, I'm sure, little lady who stood in a service on a Wednesday night and gave a little prophecy. My little children, she said, I can see that you're very discouraged. Sometimes I get discouraged myself. Of course, I know she meant well, but God doesn't get discouraged himself. Amen. He has known from the beginning. You see, God never is disillusioned by what anyone does, because he never had any illusions about us to begin with. He knew. He knows our weaknesses and he knows our ways. He knows our weaknesses and he knows our ways, and yet has chosen to love us and to minister to us and to work in us and work through us. And so when I started thinking about that yesterday, as I was thinking about and sort of planning for something to say, sometimes I plan for something to say. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, created, I was thinking of it in these terms: created to, created for, created by, created as, created so that. And you know, you can kind of put several of those into just two or three things. That, first of all, created by. We know we were created by him. That's what the scripture said that I just read. We were created by the Lord Jesus Christ. We were created for his good pleasure. And when I ask, well then, Lord, what is it we do that brings you pleasure? What is it? How do we live to bring you pleasure? What do we do that brings you joy? And because I'm thinking of pleasure as happiness, joy, because that's human terms, satisfaction. Amen. And you'll be surprised what he said. He said, anything you do. Anything you do for my glory. Anything you do in Jesus' name, anything you do, and you're doing it with all of your heart to bring honor and glory to the one that created us for his own pleasure, anything you do, he says, brings me pleasure. Well, I thought it was preaching and teaching spiritual stuff and singing in the choir and playing an instrument or doing something, quote, spiritual or sacred. And he made something very clear to me that day. He says, sacred and secular are human terms. I didn't put those terms before this human family. That's something we created. Somehow we got it in our mind that the only ministry is behind the pulpit. That you're in the ministry if you're up front doing something for the Lord. That means you're in the ministry. That's not what the book says. We're all in the ministry. Every one of us are called to the ministry. When you're called into the body of Christ, you're called to be His ministers. Amen. And whatever you're doing, and I made a list, maybe you're on my list. I believe you can be called and anointed to be a carpenter, a plumber, a truck driver, equipment operator, engineer, musician, singer, doctor, lawyer, scientist, chemist, biologist, astronaut, pilot, preacher, teacher, janitor, gemologist, miner, military man or woman, fisherman, secretary, hairstylist, barbers, brokers, bakers, chief, waiter, chef. I think I should have said chef. Maybe chief too, I'm not sure. Chef, waiter, waitress, mother, father, farmer, entertainer, comedian, actor, anchor, or meteorologist, which is weatherman. And 1,000 other things that I couldn't even think about. You're called to be whatever you're gifted to be. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And if you're gifted to be something, that's what you're called to be. Somebody said, but I don't have any gifts. Oh, yes, you do. Everyone has something. Everyone. Oh, yes. Yes, I know. I know you are gifted, young person. You are gifted. And learning that gift and developing that gift, if it's only one, and some have more than one. My wife is gifted to keep my stories straight. And she does. She keeps, if I don't get it just right, you see, I might feather things a little bit. But not her. It's going to be exactly the way she remembers it. But I found out that my memory is sometimes as good as hers. But we all have gifts. And we all have anointings. And I believe the thing that gives life meaning is to realize that you have been placed here by the will of God, and you are gifted in certain areas, and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit on that gifting, you can be great at whatever you do. When I was, before I started to school, I must have been 4 years old because I started to school when I was 5 years old. And some people think I should have kept up at it, but I stopped along the way when I'd finished high school and a little bit of college. You might wonder why I have a doctor's degree. I'll tell you, Oral Roberts gave me an honorary doctorate. But he told me, these other people go to school to get this, you've really earned it. So I have an earned doctorate. And probably the only one that ever had a doctorate given to them on the, because they'd influenced the nation in the area of prayer. So anyway, whatever that means, that's a sidetrack. But every preacher will hunt rabbits along the way. And some of us get off on a rabbit trail and never say anything else that matters. But God has gifted us. And I remember when they said to me when I was 4 years old, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I remember saying, I'm going to be a holy roller preacher. Because the only preacher I knew, they called a holy roller. Brother Bill Terrell. And he came out to our little school, country schoolhouse from Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and preached the gospel. And I knew that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to be a preacher. And when I was 17 years old, God spoke to me loud and clear one day in the presence of other people and said, "Will you preach my word?" And I answered out loud in their presence. I found out they hadn't heard the voice I heard. They hadn't heard that. I thought they must have heard it because it was loud. I heard it loud and clear. But my wife, who was not my wife at that time, she was my girlfriend because we went together all through high school and then ended up married. And now I've lived together almost 56 years, and I thank God for a good wife. But I heard that voice, "Will you preach my word?" I thought it was an option I had. I've always thought that God said, "Will you?" And if I had said, "Well, Lord, there's some other things I had in mind to do," He probably would have allowed me to do other things. I don't know that He would have, and I'm not trying to, and certainly I never did other things much except to make a living, because preaching, you didn't make a living preaching when I started. I mean, unless you was willing to live on greens and cornbread. And I know my brother who has done quite well. I have two brothers. One's a multimillionaire, and the other one is very well off. And I know when my older brother heard I was going into the ministry, I announced I was going into the ministry, he told me later, said, "I went out in the woods and cried because I knew you would always be poverty stricken." He really did. He was sincere. He said, "I just thought you would never have anything," because we didn't know a preacher that had anything. There wasn't any preachers that had anything in those days. That's a rather recent thing that has happened. A recent phenomena that preachers actually get enough money to live on and even have a house to live in and a car to drive that they actually own. Well, you see what's happened to me? I've got on too many rabbit trails. And I'm going to bring this to a close as quickly as possible. But what I'm trying to help you to understand, wherever you're serving the Lord. See, I know I could have been a millionaire. I have no doubt whatsoever. My brothers weren't any smarter than I was. I could have been a very wealthy businessman. I chose not to go in business because when He said, "Will you preach my word?" I gladly said, "Yes, Lord, I will." I've never been sorry one day that's what I did. Amen. Oh, there have been some troubles, some trials, some tests along the way, but I'm happy in the work that God has given me to do. And if I live to be 105 years old, I'll still be preaching the Word. If I have a voice and a mind, I'll still be preaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. Listen. But that doesn't mean that what I'm doing is ministry and what you're doing is not. Because you also are in the ministry, if you're in business or sales or whatever, among all the things that I named and other things that I didn't name, if you are doing whatever you're doing for the glory of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, you're in the ministry, and one day you'll stand in the presence of God and hear Him say, "Well done," and you may get called up in front of Mr. Wonderful that has been on television now for all of these years. And we kind of make gods out of those people that stand up front. But God is looking at the heart. Amen. And He's looking at what you're doing and what you're doing is important to Him. Amen. And it brings honor and glory to Him. And you ought to be praying just as much for the anointing upon your business or profession as I pray for God's anointing on the ministry. Amen. Because yours is also ministry. Have you got it? Have you got it? I want you to say, I got it. Amen. I'm in the ministry. Say it. And it's important.
It's important.
And God's keeping the records.
Amen.
And God gives the rewards. You get a hold of this, your whole life will take on a brand new meaning. Because all at once, you see, I don't have to go somewhere else to be in ministry. I don't have to be up on the platform of some church to be in the ministry. I'm in the ministry right where I am because I'm doing what I do in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm following my giftings. Yes, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let's stand up. We can do it better if we stand up on our feet. Amen. Let's just give a great big praise to God. Lift up your hand and rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah! 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 I know my time has come to an end, but I have to share this with you. When Jesus in His great high priestly prayer, this recorded in the 17th chapter of John, He said, Father, I have glorified You. I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work You gave Me to do. Amen. That's what He said. He said, I've glorified You on earth. You want to glorify God? Is that your purpose? Is that what you want to really do? You want to glorify the Lord? Then just keep doing and complete the work God has given you to do. Amen. You don't glorify God just by saying glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. No, it's by doing what He gave you to do. Say it again, I got it. I got it. I can do that. I can complete the work. For some of you, that means opening up a home for a care group meeting. We could use two homes right now in Arlington. I was going to ask you a while ago, where are you from? Then I could really see who was from Arlington. But I guess I'll pass that for this time. I won't put you under that kind of pressure, but I can tell you this. If you want to glorify the Lord, just do. Just do what He gave you to do and listen to see what He says and then obey Him. And in doing that, you bring glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, you're a minister. Hallelujah! You're a minister!